up. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
Well, I'm not going to disagree. he's right. The bias is so incredibly thick out there. I don't think I could disagree with him. People were swarming to get into his announcement, and he can fill a stadium like no other on short notice. People will camp out in tents. The devotion is so high, and the other candidates can't even fill. They can't even fill a little tiny conference room adjacent to a bathroom. I mean, we're talking, it's pretty blatant out there how, and the media completely ignores this. CNN actually, welcome to the Kate Daly Show, by the way. CNN stopped broadcasting him the minute, because he started on the media. And I have to agree with him. They're awful. And you know what's funny? I just want to make this observation for people that have a hard time with Trump talking about the media. The only media that's upset is the media that lies. The rest of the media, we're fine. We laugh at it. We know it. We understand why he's saying what he's saying. And CNN was so upset about it that they left it. They, you know, of course, they have to point out that he's awful. And so how dare he say that we're not the real media? The only media upset is the fake media, guys. It's the only ones that are actually, when I met with a publication in my own state, they were so angry about this. And the only reason is because they print the stories they're given. That's why. And so they don't want to be held responsible for that, but they are responsible for that. So I welcome you to the show. Thank you to Melissa in talking about kind of some of the changes going on under our feet, if you will, the shaking, the rattling, the rolling, all kinds of stuff. And welcome, Susan Reeve. How are you?
Hello. Great.
Hi. Wow. Let's launch in. We have a lot to talk about. Let's start off talking a little bit. There was a staffer, right?
There was a staffer.
Sheila staffer.
Yes, yeah. Yes. A Democrat congressional aide to Sheila Jackson Lee. She hired him as an IT guy, knowing that he had a criminal background.
Oh, perfect.
And yet, yeah, why not? And so he inserted himself into the congressional computer system. Mm-hmm. And it was also Representative Hassan, Maggie Hassan. Mm-hmm. But now he is headed to prison for 4 years because during the Kavanaugh hearing, first he was fired by his behavior in her office, which I guess no surprise. Maybe she hired him as a favor because his father is a big expensive millionaire real estate developer in probably a huge donor. Mm-hmm. So he was fired, but he was so enraged. He was so deluded, got into the delusional system of Kavanaugh, freaking out. So he decided to do a series of burglaries. He went in, he hacked people's computers. He put in software that would telegraph through wireless all the keystrokes of all the computers. And so it was Lindsey Graham's office, Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell. And then he got charged with obstruction of justice because he has attempted to silence a witness. He was threatening to release the private health information of a senator's children.
Right.
And he was just this super corrupt person and just running on a rampage.
Maybe he was chummy with Feinstein's chauffeur.
The connection with the dad is through Diane Feinstein.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
It says he ultimately copied entire network drives, sorted and organized sensitive data, and explored ways to use the data to his benefits and doxed people, which means put out their private information. So he was on this rampage. They blamed it all on drugs. But the reality was he was fueled by this hatred. And it said in the indictment, this hatred to punish people who disagree with his politics and that a belief he could violate the sanctity of the United States Senate at will and threaten individual senators as he pleased. But that also sounds like Hillary Clinton violating the sanctity of the United States Senate.
And has for decades.
Yes, indeed. So here is a criminal. We want to see people arrested who are doing bad things. His name is Costco, C-O-S-K-O. But he was actually laughing about his actions. So here is a deranged individual with big powers, you know, these hacking powers. I think they're called black hats.
Yes.
And just running on a rampage. So who else was doing this? Why was this even possible? He was doing burglaries. Doesn't that sound like Watergate?
Yeah, it does. It's funny how it's all swept under the rug.
Yeah, you really don't hear about it. But so anyway, it's good news. He was sentenced today to 4 years in prison. Maybe he'll get off for good behavior. Who knows?
Oh, geez. There was also another arrest, too. The former vice president of Disney for child crimes.
Oh,
pedo crimes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's all of these that sort of don't seem to get on the front page, if you will. So it's always curious to me, because if this was somebody that had conservative viewpoints, oh, geez, it'd be fodder for a month.
Oh.
And so that's why I always find it intriguing when you see it swept under the rug so fast, just like Dianne Feinstein's Chinese spy.
Chinese spy, personal assistant, office manager, driver, go-to guy.
20 years, you know, little spy,
And she was shocked.
I think you just invented a new word.
I did.
Spinies,
I did. And
Kate,
I give
does
myself
that.
Credit. No. Also, I want to talk to you about, thanks, Kevin, I want to talk about this, the ports as well. They just had a huge cocaine bust, and we don't watch the ports as much. I think we don't realize. I know that with uranium, the whole Hillary deal, chatter on the ground says so much of everything moves through those ports. Might even be little kids moving through those ports, trafficked across the high seas. And so we just need to pay more attention. There was a huge cocaine bust.
This was a massive bust. It was 16.5 tons at the port in Philadelphia, which is a massive port. I've been there. That's 15,000 kilos of cocaine. It says this is one of the largest drug seizures in United States history.
Wow.
And it was on a ship that had originally come from Chile, Panama, and the Bahamas, but that's not where the cocaine came in. The cocaine was after the Bahamas, as they were going through the ocean, that other boats came, seven other boats, and loaded that cocaine on. I mean, this was a massive operation. And it was set to depart for Europe. And then officials boarded it in Philadelphia, and they started dog sniffing, and they found one of the largest drug busts in American history. Good job, Donald Trump, DEA, and all the people handling that. That's awesome that they were able to pull
There's
this off.
Arrest.
And it says, so members of the ship's crew have been arrested and federally charged, and Custom and Border Protection are leading a multi-agency inspection. This is a big, massive thing. And it says, one of the people involved said that the recent trend to mix cocaine with fentanyl, this ship contained enough cocaine to kill millions of people, because fentanyl, as we know, is 50 times more potent than heroin and 100
coming out of China.
Yes, more potent than morphine.
Yeah.
And it's the reason for overdoses. So, you know, in this day and age, when parents see their kids doing drugs and they think, oh, well, kids go through a phase. Some parents think this. A lot of parents are very tolerant that this is not your grandma's weed and little drugs. You know, this is hardcore, big time overdose kind of stuff. And so if you're a parent, do not look away. Don't look away. Call the cops on your kid if they won't come out of their bedroom and
I wouldn't
deal with
do
it.
That, but I would at least do something, you know, to help.
Because when the
cops get involved, you're looking at a totally different
scenario. You are. The thing about it is, I think a lot of parents are super frustrated. They've tried everything that they know how to do,
but they don't realize how dangerous some of the mixing of this stuff is. And so, speaking of China, though, that's interesting. What are they doing with North Korea? That's been the newest development.
So China, Trump has been putting tariffs on China, but this started this whole negotiation with China to get these China to stop stealing from us, to stop charging tariffs on stuff they're sending to us. Trump has been in this negotiation, and the way that Chairman Xi started out with it, he said, okay, this is my starting position. I am president of China forever. That was his starting position, meaning you're going to have to deal with me forever. But what Trump knew and understood is that the president of North Korea, Kim, that little rocket man, was really hostage to China. That China was telling Kim how to behave, when to send off rockets, what to threaten the United States with. And so now...
Using them.
Yes. With the tariffs in place, you see the president of China has just gone down to North Korea. He's gone down to North Korea and he is making peace with Kim to say, you're not my hostage anymore. We're going to let you just make peace with South Korea. So the terms they're putting it in is go ahead, Kim, make peace with South Korea, start opening things up.
Right.
But this is a concession to Trump because Trump has wanted this all along. They can't give up on some of their economic things. So they're doing this. Then they said, we're not going to meet with Trump at the G20. Now they've...
What I find so fascinating about this, though, is it's the deep state that has controlled the relationship and also used North Korea as a puppet and a boogeyman for so long. We pull them out of the woodwork, like we pull them onto the stage when we need a boogeyman and then put them back behind the curtain when we don't.
Yes.
And so we've known that China's controlled them, yet we have, in the press, propaganda treated them like an island unto themselves when we know. Our deep state is so involved with this and coordinating this and we've used it. And if that doesn't make the American people upset that they've been lied to for decades about that relationship. Sometimes it's really hard, I think, to get through to people out there that we've, of course we knew, we orchestrated so much.
The surface
of this.
News is not what's really going on behind the scenes.
We were comfortable to use them as a boogeyman because we knew they'd only go so far on direction of China, direction of China. And we're so in bed with China and we never talk about China.
Well, Sundance states that Conservative Treehouse says that one of the reasons this is happening is that China has a policy, this is how they negotiate, is that they never move back from a position they have gained. So in order to save face, he can't move back on tariffs.
Concede.
He can't concede or he'll lose confidence of people at home. So he's doing this end-around concession in order to give Trump something so that Trump can give him something in return. So it's a very, very, very complex.
Yep.
High level.
But extremely well thought out strategy.
I agree.
And Trump's been doing this for 30 years. He's saying this is how we need to get China under control for 30 years. He's been waiting for this moment.
Right. And then again, look at the load of propaganda connected to North Korea. North Korea is going to bomb us. North Korea is going to bomb us. Who are we hearing is going to bomb us today? Just a preface for the rest of, as we get into the later part of this hour. Just because, man, we can learn a big lesson from this. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
CCR. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I'm feeling a lot better. I actually went to bed at 4 this morning. I was up reading, and I switched over to Balance of Nature. I was listening to all those commercials, and I started taking it, and it is so awesome. I'm like, that's the only thing getting me through today, by the way. They have, like, fruit and veggie tablets, and they have a fiber drink and all kinds of stuff, and it's whole foods, and it has made a difference, because normally I'd be crashed right now, by the way. Anyway, so thanks, Balance of Nature. A couple of things. By the way, yes, the audience last night was chanting CNN sucks. That's why CNN stopped. You know, they shelved it when Trump was announcing his his another term that he was going to be running. And I thought it was so funny. And yes, the media that is the most upset about him saying that about media is the media that lies. That's why they're so upset. Media like myself, media like the people I know that are in media, we're laughing at it. We're thinking, good. We're praising him for it. So just remember that, because it's just such an obvious thing. The ones that are that hurt by it are the biggest liars. And CNN is one of the tooliest networks I think I've ever had to witness. Welcome back, Susan. Kevin's with me too. And we were just going to talk about Africa and what's going on over there, because this is kind of a wild story. This is interesting.
This is like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. This is like...
Go right ahead.
Yeah, incredible. So the Wall Street Journal had a major story how 7.4 tons of Venezuelan gold landed in Africa and then vanished. So it turns out there's an entire underground global economy that is filtering and laundering all this gold. Well, it came from Venezuela. And when they actually looked at the gold ingot bars, these were bars from the 1940s. And so, we were thinking like Nazi gold or something from the 1940s, but it was actually American gold when we paid Venezuela for oil during World War II. So that's how
the stuff we think's in Fort Knox.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No.
Has it been emptied? Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Way back to 1940 for the oil, which makes total sense. Well, it turns out Maduro, who is this failed president of Venezuela, people are starving, the country's collapsing. He has created a fire sale on gold. He is shipping gold over to Africa. It's landing in Entebbe in Uganda, and it's being processed at this gold refinery and reconfigured so that it looks like gold from other places.
Who are the robber barons?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's... So there was one guy who now lives in Dubai who used to own this, but now it's the Ugandan people and other owners. But anyway, so Ugandans police met these planes. There were two planes at the runway. So you know the government's in on it. The government claims, oh, no, we don't do that. But yes, they were doing
that. Are they
that.
Sending it to Russia via Africa?
Yeah, no.
Sending it all over. What?
Sending it all over?
Yeah, they're sending it all over. They are... they're using gold because gold is so easy. All you have to do is recast it.
Yeah.
Just melt it down, cast it, and put another stamp on it, and it's impossible to trace.
Yeah. Because Russia's been hoarding gold. China's been hoarding gold. I mean, there's a lot of countries that have been really stockpiling.
Well, some of this is going to Turkey. Mm-hmm. It's going to the Middle East. And so what's interesting about it is I read this whole article, and I thought, so he's laundering this gold, and it turns out that between 2017 and 2019, it's been 73 tons of gold. So this recent amount, 7.4 tons, is worth $300 million. And you think, well, it's basically looting the country. It's a fire sale. This is the last economic thing you can do in a country. But why is it being allowed? Well, Trump says he's putting sanctions on places that are taking it. But as it turns out, they have traced a lot of this gold, like where it ends up, in 237 publicly traded companies on the New York Stock Exchange. They've been able to trace the gold to all these companies. People are taking the money, right?
Companies. Companies like Starbucks, General Motors.
GE.
Interesting.
And so I thought about it, and I remembered something, that Donald Trump is a huge believer in the sayings of Sun Tzu, who was a Chinese general, very wise and very bright. Anyway, he had a saying that said, make a golden bridge for your enemies to retreat across.
Oh,
and
interesting.
I thought, yes.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. Give them a red carpet way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is probably a way for Maduro to save the gold for himself in other places, cash it, and so he can go and leave the country. Because right now, it is Russians that are protecting him in Venezuela. It's Russian bodyguards, and Putin has sent over, and he needs the gold. That's how he pays the Russian bodyguards.
Right.
So anyway, this is the only way he's surviving right now.
But he also said $20 million has been spent on trying to kill him.
Yeah,
so that's been kind of interesting. So I don't know.
And it makes you wonder, has Trump really tried? Because you think if Trump is trying...
I don't know if it would be Trump as much as it just would be the deep state. But who knows? I mean, I don't know. You know, I would believe it in a way only because we've seen that happen multiple times. We've seen coups take place, so many times it's almost nauseating at this point that we're not cluing in. But as Ron Paul would say, maybe we'll wake up eventually out of our coma, decade of coma. But I wouldn't surprise me. Maduro is pretty horrific, but it wouldn't surprise me either. To see that.
No, and I think, when the U.S. wants to get their man, they get their man, unless they are pretending to want to get them and don't.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, if the gold is leaving, I think Maduro is on his way out.
And
he can take
saying.
An entourage with him, and then it's over, game over. So this is just kind of the final meltdown. There's no other game place to go after this. It's kind of checkmate, don't you think, Kevin?
I think the fact that the gold is leaving the country indicates that he realizes there's nothing left there.
Right.
My thought was, what end game can he possibly have other than banishment, other than going away?
Right.
There's no way he can repair the economy. There's no way he can set things right.
No.
Can't stay in power. There's no other option.
Going into full-blown socialism, government owning everything, having that kind of control, and then not playing ball and giving other people their cut. This is exactly the end road of that.
Yeah.
And we've seen it again and again.
It's interesting that John Bolton tweeted out, I love how we're doing national security tweets, John Bolton. My advice to bankers, brokers, traders, facilitators, and other businesses, don't deal in gold, oil, or other Venezuelan commodities being stolen from the Venezuelan people by the Maduro mafia. So there's no question in the mind of certain people like John Bolton, but is Trump just kind of allowing them to leave, the golden pathway on the way out?
That's curious. I mean, if you want to look back in history, there's a lot of chatter on the ground that maybe things didn't end up the way history books wrote them, but maybe some leaders of some certain countries ended up escaping and getting that kind of golden road to another country.
Yes.
And I've done some shows on that. And so we think they died or, committed suicide, but that's not necessarily the case.
No.
Because
when
they don't believe in suicide. So, there's that. And so that wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me because we've seen it before.
Exactly.
And also with rare minerals and all kinds of things, you were talking about gold. And that's kind of interesting, too, is sort of this dependency that's been created, right?
Well, there's a huge dependency. And so a lot of these rare earth minerals, things we use in our phones, things in green technology, the batteries in electric cars require rare earth minerals. And so that's why it's so hard to take things from like Africa. The gold is, there's war conflicted things. But so who do we get ours from? We get 90% of ours from China.
Yeah. And then think about this, because remember with the gas scare, right? And it was this huge standing in line in the late 70s, early 80s. I remember standing in line. My parents did for gas and so forth. And they told us it was depleted and it was a complete ruse.
We had hardly begun to drill our own oil. So
you think about all of our own rare earth minerals here.
Yes.
Right?
So why are we 90% dependent on China and, in fact, Russia? Mm-hmm. So two of our most aggressive competitors in the world and, in fact, our enemies who sabotage us for rare earth minerals. When we sit on, it says in this article at Town Hall, $5 trillion that we have hardly.
Between us and I think Antarctica, which we keep very closed off to everybody, and that's always a curious story. I've always wondered about Antarctica.
What is going on down there? So officially, the National Mining Association said we have $5 trillion of recoverable mineral resources, and the U.S. Geological Survey says 86% of them are still in the ground.
Yeah.
It's still in there, and we're just sitting on it and dependent on our so-called enemies.
Right.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense in that it's our politicians who have allowed this, right?
Yeah.
There's one big...
They keep that ruse going.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that we are overly dependent. And it makes you wonder, who is getting paid off in that process?
Oh,
who
yeah.
is benefiting
well,
in that process?
It could also be a strategic thing where, like, for example, for years we've been dependent on Saudi oil, quote-unquote dependent, when in reality we had huge reserves of our own.
Right.
We just chose to use their oil first.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're doing here is using the Chinese metals or, first until we need our own.
Or creating a currency worldwide that would have to be the currency, telling everybody that this is where we have to get our oil, so therefore we can remain in everybody's business too.
Well, yeah.
Overseas. So it's a really great sort of scapegoat, and they've used it so many times. This is why you see so much land gobbled up by the government right now too, is the what's underneath. Mm-hmm. What's underneath in those rare earth minerals, and uranium in Oregon. There's all kinds of places that have certain little troughs. Yes.
Copper.
Yep.
All of these things. And a lot of them are on public property here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could get permission. You know, there is ways to get that and deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is not a political will right now. And most people just don't know. You just want your phone. You've got your phone. You don't care.
Yeah.
And that it's being used, you know, gotten by slave labor or whatever. You don't care.
I just wish they'd stop calling it public lands. You know, it's like jumbo shrimp. I mean, it's nonsense. It's government land. That's what it is. Government owned, government managed, government land. They get to do whatever they want with it. And they're buying it up like crazy and tossing farmers and ranchers off their land. So,
do you mean it's not the land that belongs to the American people?
Have you ever felt?
No. And the environmentalists say we cannot.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Absolutely not. Enviros love that we cannot go and touch our land. We can look at it. We just can't touch it.
Yeah.
How generous.
But they want the phone. They want the car.
So to make us dependent means that we have to do certain things with other countries to make this relationship, while they're all scapegoating this relationship. And really everyone in Washington, it seems, is in on this, because it's not going anywhere. The dependency we're creating and really manufacturing, it's so asinine. I wish we really could have true history taught and true things taught in even to our children in schools. Us parents are just going to have to do it. But it's just, and we should have been doing it all along. But it's just amazing how many false relationships are created and manipulated over this kind of stuff. And so you'll see the war with this and crying out that we have to make all these concessions. We have to be in bed with China. Otherwise, how are we going to have our iPhones? Well, I love that you did homework on this.
Yeah, well, and it's with Trump and China and Beijing threatening to cut off access to critical mineral imports. I mean, they have that to hold over us.
Yep,
not good.
And then really in reality, we have it here. We just don't want to go there.
Yes.
Because then we don't have the same controls. We don't have the same influences. We can't be in other certain places on the boots on the ground. And if we have it all here, too. So they blame it on that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Be right back. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Matt Hafen with Willow Bend Chiropractic, and I want to help you.
Tight pants, points, hollering now. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes. And points all her own.
Hey, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Boy, so much to talk about. Night moves. Okay, Bob Seger. I welcome Kevin and Susan back. There's just so much. also want to mention, we were talking about concentration camps yesterday. I know a lot of people listen to that podcast. And Alexandria, you know, going off about that, man, everybody's had a field day with her. Her opinion, her polls went down so low.
Right, 21% in her district.
Yes.
Approval rating.
The Jewish
tanking.
Community up in arms. And also people going, did you know that, you know, if you can leave a camp, it's not exactly a concentration camp. They can go home anytime to their country. So anyway, it's been kind of funny to watch, only because she just made such an idiot out of herself. But so there's that. And a couple of things. I want to talk about Iran for a minute, because I've been putting it off. And, you know, I think the reason I've been putting it off, to be honest, is it so obvious that I just feel like, why? On this show, we've done so many shows going back. How many ships have been hit?
Well, we got we have the Maine.
Yeah.
We have the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah. I mean, this is such playbook. It's such playbook. And so to think that the Japanese were visiting, you know, and and all of this happened, and even Japan is saying, now, wait a minute, something's wrong with this story. The Japanese-owned vessel that would be attacked while Iranian leaders were meeting with the Japanese prime minister in Tehran, which hasn't happened in how long? So Mike Pompeo, he wants war with Iran, and so does Mustache. And I don't know quite, I don't know how else to basically say that this was a false flag other than this is such a false flag. I'm not quite sure why we're even guessing on this. Two oil tankers reported to have suffered attacks by tornadoes, right? In the Persian Gulf, right? And then the damaged tankers belonged to Norway and Japan. Iran denied responsibility for the attack. And then, it's noted that the suspicious that the Japanese-owned vessel would be attacked while Iranian leaders were meeting with the Japanese prime minister in Tehran. So this is just par for the course.
What I would suggest is that if the Iranians had actually done it to themselves, they would had done it themselves, they would absolutely take credit for it.
Oh, why wouldn't they? Yeah, absolutely.
Because they always do.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And so I just wanted to note also, because I thought this was of value for you to listen to for just a minute. And this was Michael Bolton. I'm not a fan of Bolton. Anyone that says that this guy adheres to any kind of constitution, I don't even care what country, they're lying. Definitely not America. And has had this kind of bloodthirsty war gene for a very long time, probably since birth. So this is Michael Bolton. I just call him Mustache, but here he is talking about how the government loves to lie, because in the throes of war, which we claim anything is a war now, anything, any military action whatsoever is a war, that they can lie and get away with it, and it's just A-OK. So here we go. Oops, sorry.
Case for secrecy in government when it comes to the conduct of national security affairs and possibly
Bolton.
For deception where that's appropriate. You know, Winston Churchill said during World War II that in wartime, truth is so important it should be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies.
Do you really believe that?
Absolutely.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth?
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it. Faced with that. difficulty. But would I lie about where the D-Day invasion was going to take place to deceive the Germans? You better believe it.
Why do people in the government think that the rules of society or the laws don't apply to them?
Because they are not dealing in the civil society we live in under the Constitution. They are dealing in an anarchic environment internationally where
that we
different
created.
Rules apply.
But you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution mandates certain openness and certain fairness.
But I only do
You're
business
willing to
overseas,
do away with
so it doesn't
that
matter.
In order to achieve a temporary military goal?
And I think, as Justice Jackson said in a famous decision, the Constitution's not a suicide pact.
But you took an oath to it.
That's exactly right. And I think defending the United States from foreign threats does require actions that
we
in
hit?
A normal business environment
hit.
In the United States we would find unprofessional.
You know,
I don't make any apology for it.
Were we hit? I'm not quite sure. I don't remember being hit. Are we defending ourselves?
Gosh.
I didn't know.
We haven't been defending ourselves since World War II.
Yep. Not defending ourselves since World War II. That's exactly right. Here is a quick one-minute clip, Ron Paul talking. Here we go.
He said reported attacks on Japan-related tankers occurred while Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was meeting with Ayatollah Khamenei for extensive and friendly talks. Suspicious doesn't begin to describe what likely transpired this morning. Iran's proposed regional dialogue forum is imperative. So he points out what a lot of people are saying. Hang on a second. Why would Iran, right when there's an historic visit, because there hasn't been a Japanese prime minister visiting Iran since the revolution of 1979. Historic meeting, very important considering Japan's geostrategic importance. And all of a sudden, here goes Iran just hitting some Japanese ships. It is a real head-scratcher on that.
Well, I hope the American people are more alert than they have been over several decades, because the lies that have been told to get us in war have been identified and people know about it. Most Americans know now that we were lied into the Iraq war, you know, even the establishment.
And
you
Vietnam.
Know,
yeah.
They don't
several
deny
others.
This.
So there you have it from Ron Paul and the gentleman that he's on his show with. I just wanted to point that out because here we are again at the beginnings of what could be another military action that really is a military action covertly. And Michael Bolton saying, yeah, we lie, and then we lie some more, and we create all of this, and the Constitution doesn't apply to me because, you know, I'm out and about doing all of this business where I'm creating war and profiteering. So I just wanted to point this out because we can't keep falling for it. And we have. And just look at North Korea and the background with North Korea. How many times did our own government tell you that North Korea was going to nuke us, that they were out to get us and they were the boogeyman? How many times did you hear that? Just even in the last 15 years, knowing the whole time that they were controlled, that they were controlled by China, which means they're controlled by us, which means we're very in bed with China. And so we were able to use them as a boogeyman. We have to stop thinking in the present of some of this stuff going on, and we go, well, this time it's different. I think Iran did that because we've been taught to hate them. I wouldn't want to live in Iran personally. I'm not a fan, but I'll tell you something. I think we should stay out of their business, and we should stop pinning stuff on them. And it's very, very clear to me that Michael Bolton and Pompeo are pretty war thirsty, and they want to get us. Condition to some sort of something going on over there, so they can invade. And they've been wanting that country for a long time. So
we have a long enmity with them, and mm-hmm. we have some revenge mm-hmm. motives. And,
yeah.
and clearly, you know, that aspect of it appeals to me. But I was looking at the photos of the ships
mm-hmm.
and the impacts, the mines, supposedly the limpet mines. Were about 4 feet above the waterline,
mm-hmm.
which would not indicate a limpet mine, which is placed below the waterline. So that would indicate more of a missile strike kind of impact.
Curious.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's very curious.
It's possible that they unloaded the oil mm-hmm. and raised the
level
of the ship up by unloading it. But
it could be
very, you know, I've right. never seen a torpedo hit 4 feet above the waterline.
Very curious.
Yeah.
David Stockman reported that if you really even want to look at the Navy, because what is Bolton keep saying? He keeps saying we're defending our country. So therefore, we can lie to you because we're defending it, mm-hmm. even though we haven't been hit. So in the event of not being hit, and all of us knowing that and cluing into just common sense and the reality of the fact that we're not being hit right now by another country, especially Iran, he pointed out the non-existent nature of their Navy. And so I thought this was great because he said, look, whatever deliberate or accidental incident may next materialize on the Persian Gulf waters, the truth of that will happen because the U.S. Fifth Fleet Naval and Air War Machine is all over the Gulf, and it really shouldn't be there, which is true. And Washington has blatantly attacked Iran via crushing economic sanctions designed to close the entire global markets to its oil exports, suffocate its domestic economy to the point of collapse. Yet Iran is a zero threat to the security of the American homeland over here. And he said, that's right. He said, look, Iran has no blue water navy that could even get to the Atlantic, let alone, and only 18,000 sailors, including everyone from admirals to medics. That's their entire force. So he said, an aging, decrepit fleet of warplanes with no long-range flight or refueling capabilities, ballistic missiles that mainly have a range under 800 miles, a very limited air defense based on a Russian supply S-300 system, not the far more capable S-400, but the S-500, and he said in a land army of less than 350,000. So he's saying, look, we are over there. We completely can outpower them, and we're telling everyone that it's in our defense. And he was pointing out the nature of us doing these types of attacks and then blaming it on somebody else. And that's what a false flag is. So
and if you think about it, who should be upset? Japan and mm-hmm. Norway.
Yeah.
They should be.
Well, yes.
It's their
issue.
Issue, mm-hmm. not ours. Why are we stepping in?
Yes, exactly. And so it's a strange game that we're playing.
Victor Davis Hanson back in 2018 said, we have enormous leverage over them. And just as Stockman was saying, with the financial, squeezing them financially. Yeah. But also, if we take out North Korea as one of their allies, because North Korea becomes an ally to South Korea, then now we have removed one of their big chess pieces.
Right.
You know, they're kind of just out there alone with Russia.
Yeah.
So it's things are changing and we're gaining.
And we went to war in Iraq to get Iran. We wanted strategically both.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we forget that we actually put our own men in harm's way over there for that reason. And many have died.
Yes.
And I will always side on the side of the soldiers being placed, because they don't get a choice. They'll be placed in harm's way, and having to deal with all of that happened around that for the sake of getting that geographically to go into Iran. There's something really wrong with that.
Yeah.
That I hope the American people will understand. We have a great nation. So when the left says, you know, we're not a great nation anymore, they're talking about some of the same events I am, but I'm still remembering that we were built on something that was exceptional, that matches no other country around this globe, and that we should stand for that still. So that's what makes us great, not what the government does in our name now. That does not make us great. But what does make us great is that we have the greatest constitution and the longest living constitution of any country around the globe. And there was something very God-inspired by it. And I feel like if we don't call it out, it's dishonest, because I always care about the soldiers that have died in the name of whatever they want to happen out there. That's not okay. That is not okay. If you're actually defending the country, I get it. Then okay, great. You know, that sacrifice, I can understand that there would be some sacrifices with that, but we're not. And so as much as Michael Bolton wants to sit there and lie and say that we're in defense of our country and we can lie to you and we've been lying to you because, you know, we're always in a military action. When were we not? You know? Kevin, Susan, when were we not in a military action? Can you name a time? I mean, since the 40s, that we weren't into something going on, some even covert.
Stirring things up in other places with the CIA doing their little magic in Africa and Central America, South America.
And in Iran.
Right. In Iran.
I'll tell you this.
Overthrowing the Iranian government in the 50s.
Yes. I'll tell you this. If our soldiers were in charge of where we went to war, okay, completely different scenario.
Yeah.
But are those in government positions and think tanks, foreign policy think tanks, are in charge of sending them out based on what they're getting.
Yeah, on their agenda, their priorities.
That's why it's okay to call that out.
Yeah.
You're not saying America's bad. You're saying, I'm calling out this part, this thing that is happening to our innocent men and women that want to serve the military because they love the country.
Right.
And they're using that to their advantage. And that's what I always am just so angry about, because I just feel for the guys out there.
Yeah.
You know, and
you only have one life to give for your country, and families go on without these soldiers. And
And there are some soldiers that get off on this kind of stuff. And you know, I have to say that just because that's the reality of it. And I'm well aware. I've read lots of transcripts, and it's kind of horrifying. Some of it's kind of horrifying, but that's not the whole of the military. And I know, because I've got family in the military. I've got friends in the military.
We do too.
Yeah, decades and decades. And you know their heart. You know what they're about.
Absolutely.
And they're certainly there because they're there for the right reason. They love this country just like we do. So the whole Iran thing, we really need new goggles. We just do. I don't know how else to say it. It's just that they use the same playbook. This isn't even getting hard. It's so obvious. It's not hard to even dissect anymore. Literally took, 6 minutes? So that's sad. That is really sad. Anyway, be faithful, be fearless. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Susan.
My pleasure.
Be back here tomorrow with Chris Ann Hall and Uncle Milty. And can't wait. Everybody, see you tomorrow.